This hour brought to you by LibertyOnCall.org. Take back your independence, control, and make your own healthcare decisions. LibertyOnCall.org. Together, we are one.
To the third hour of the program in discussing the Ross Ulbricht case in pretty detailed terms here with the assistance of Reason.com, who has taken the time to go point by point through a lot of the appeal and really kind of give us the rundown on what are some of the things that the defense is arguing here that basically is the reason for appeal. They have a number of points, and basically they all boil down to the court. In this case, in the Ross Ulbricht case, by the way, Ross is the guy who's sentenced to life in prison for running a website called The Silk Road. The court essentially prohibited them from calling the witnesses that they wanted to call, from putting the case on that they wanted to put on, from arguing the things they wanted to argue about how there's corrupt DEA and Secret Service agents involved in this case who are now in prison because they pled guilty to felonies. They couldn't talk about that during the trial, so they were prohibited from that. They were prohibited from calling expert witnesses to discuss Bitcoin in terms that the jury could understand, try to contradict some of the things that the prosecution's so-called expert witnesses were saying about Bitcoin. And so this is kind of a basic rundown of what we've been through so far. It's Ian and Daryl in the studio with you here tonight. Continuing on here, there was an interesting detail that the court once again prohibited from being allowed into testimony, and that was the administrator, one of the main administrators of the website, Andrew Michael Jones. So you got Ross Ulbricht, he's the creator of the site. Then you had about three or four administrators that were also arrested and targeted in this crackdown. And the prosecution had Andrew Michael Jones on their witness list.
One of the admins.
Correct. They had him on their witness list, but they never called him during the trial. And they were going to, supposedly, they were going to be calling him so he could testify to the allegation that, you know, that this was Ross Ulbricht, even though he wouldn't
have
known.
And the defense wanted Andrew to testify as well.
That's correct.
Which I think played a part in the prosecution not having him testify.
But further, the prosecution got him blocked from being even called by the defense. So when the prosecution decided not to call him, the defense probably still wanted to call him because he was going to testify to having a special code word that Dread Pirate Roberts, the operator of the Silk Road, the main man behind the Silk Road, would respond to prove that he was indeed the real Dread Pirate Roberts. And when he asked him for this code word, he was unable to provide it. So when Andrew Michael Jones asked Dread Pirate Roberts on the site for the code word, that person who was Dread Pirate Roberts could not provide it, which might mean that it was another Dread Pirate Roberts entirely, or that it was a federal agent posing as Dread Pirate Roberts at that time. Who knows what that means, but we do know that it was not likely Ross Ulbricht,
right,
who would have known what that particular code was. So, continuing now with Reason.com's analysis of the appeal. The court's erroneous evidentiary rulings constitute cumulative error, so errors upon errors, that deprived Ulbricht of due process and a fair trial. Dreitel sums it up, quote, "While each of the series of evidentiary trial errors set forth above individually are sufficient to warrant vacating Ulbricht's convictions and granting him a new trial, cumulatively, they require it. In combination, they served to prevent Ulbricht from presenting any meaningful defense to the charges and permitted the government to argue that the defense theory was unsupported by facts." The next point. The unlimited searches and seizure of Ulbricht's entire laptop and Gmail and Facebook accounts violated the Fourth Amendment because they constituted the fruit of A, a warrant that lacked any particularity, and B, unlawful and warrantless pen register and trap and trace orders. Dreitel's two previous cases, Ganias and Galpin, whose outcome should lead the court to the conclusion that the things being searched for in Ulbricht's digital life were so wide-ranging and non-particular as to qualify as a Fourth Amendment violation. Dreitel, who's Ulbricht's attorney, writes that, quote, rather than require the government to establish probable cause in advance of reviewing categories of electronic data, they would license the government to examine every file to assure that probable cause to seize it did not exist. Any more dramatic or patent example of the rummaging could not be envisioned. Yet that is what the government has done in this case with respect to Ulbricht's laptop and Gmail and Facebook accounts. In the United States, when police get a warrant for something, it's supposed to be for something specific. They're supposed to cite what it is they are looking for and in where they would like to look for that thing.
Evidence of criminal activity anywhere that I might find it.
That does not qualify, or should not qualify.
It should not,
for
but,
a valid warrant.
You know, it kind of does now, which is really sad. And what's even sadder is that people still say that this is not only a free country, but the freest one in the world.
You can share your thoughts with us here at 855-450-FREE. Reason's got more analysis. Dreitel also says that the Penn Register and trap and trace searches in the investigation against Ulbricht were not justified under the Fourth Amendment, as they arose, quote, by court order and not by a warrant based on probable cause, unquote. Dreitel argues at length, including quoting Reason's contributing editor Julian Sanchez, that the dominant Smith v. Maryland case about information allegedly freely volunteered to third parties shouldn't apply in the Internet age. He cites a great deal of precedent indicating that Penn registers and trap and trace that reveal location and activities inside the home, as per the ones in this case, should require a warrant. So, again, the government making all kinds of legal mistakes in their investigation, cutting corners that results in what should be, you know, if true, these allegations should be throwing these cases out. But to them, this is such an important case, they're willing to ignore all of their rules and just chug on ahead, put somebody in a prison cell, because that's what's important to them, is getting the conviction, putting somebody in a prison cell, even if it's the wrong person. The life sentence imposed on Ulbricht, argues the defense, was procedurally and substantively unreasonable. Further, the alleged deaths from drugs on Silk Road that weighed in Ulbricht's sentencing, Dreitel argues, were not properly proven as directly connected to running the Silk Road. Because what they did was they had some mother come in and claim that her son died because he bought something on the Silk Road and then overdosed. And that even government witnesses on which that conclusion was derived didn't present the connection between the Silk Road and the deaths as proven. Quote, accordingly, Ulbricht's life sentence should be vacated, and he should be remanded to a different judge for resentencing without the alleged overdose deaths as a factor at sentencing. And that would be if they don't actually go back and retry this case again.
Right, and not only that, the judge also took into account the unfiled charges, or whatever the legal term is, of the murder for hire, where she says, I believe that he did blah, 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 so therefore life.
This judge was insane.
She would have sentenced him to death if she could.
I think you're right about that. His attorney notes, it is far from common, even when sentencing actual sellers of drugs, to consider unadjudicated overdose deaths as a factor in sentencing, including with some actual Silk Road drug sellers who have faced prosecution. Dreitel also claims that, quote, the life sentence was substantively unreasonable for several reasons. The court ignored the 99 letters on Ulbricht's behalf that apprised the court of the positive contributions Ulbricht has made and could make in the future if given a reasonable sentence. Ignored the expertise of the forensic pathologist and ignored the empirical and other academic and practical research presented in Ulbricht's sentencing submission, although some of that research was about Silk Road specifically and its harm reduction effects on the drug culture. She basically said, look, I'm sentencing you to send a message. I don't care about that you could be a good guy here and there. You were a bad, bad boy, and you need to go down hard to supposedly stop these other people from doing this, which, of course, hasn't stopped them at all. There are now more than probably two dozen active underground darknet marketplaces, many of whom are rivaling in popularity the original Silk Road. So instead of stopping these underground darknet marketplaces, the government has succeeded in cutting off one head of the Hydra and having five, in this case dozens more, replace it. The overall purpose of the appeal is, quote, that Ulbricht's convictions should be vacated and a new trial ordered, particular evidence against him suppressed, or in the alternative, the matter should be remanded for resentencing before a different judge. So the attorney in this case is not actually asking for the case to be thrown out entirely, but is asking for a retrial, although the court could deviate from that and throw the case out in some sort of crazy miracle, but don't get your hopes up for that. That's the latest from the Ross Ulbricht case. If you want to support Ross, go to freeross.org. There are ways to contribute there. Bitcoin, PayPal, check, you know, whatever it is you would like to send their way, I'm sure they would appreciate it. It is not cheap to hire this federal attorney. There's more on the way on Free Talk Live.
Every once in a while, you get information that's worth changing your life for. This is one such time. You can save up to and beyond 25% on all purchases at Amazon. You've probably heard of Bitcoin and just not thought much about it. You certainly know that you can get competitive pricing at Amazon, but now you can get a 25% discount on nearly everything you need to live. I've just given you a huge raise, and all you have to do is claim it. You go to saveitpurse.com and open an account. Do this right now. Don't wait. Then you fund the account with Bitcoin. You can buy them through expresscoin.com with a check or money order. There are other ways to get Bitcoin, but that's fast, safe, and easy. This information is worth you changing the way you do things. Go to saveitpurse.com right now, get signed up, and cash in on the huge raise I'm offering you. 15 to 25% off of everything at Amazon through saveitpurse.com. It's saveitpurse.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-330-4028. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-330-4028. 800-330-4028. That's 800-330-4028.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Dial toll free to join. join us here at 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well, so Skype on in. Skype username is lrn.fm with you tonight. You've got Ian.
And Daryl.
And don't forget to join us in real life. Coming up at the Liberty Forum, we are now just about 1 month away from one of the most important events that happens here in New Hampshire on a yearly basis. It's the 9th Liberty Forum, and it is arguably going to be the most important. Certainly the most exciting, because yeah. Not only is Edward Snowden, that's right, the Edward Snowden, the guy who made headlines in 2013, the summertime, for releasing all kinds of secret information about the NSA spying on Americans and people around the globe, that Edward Snowden, yeah, he's going to be speaking at Liberty Forum. That alone makes it a pretty epic event, but there are also hundreds of people who are going to be there who are Free State Project participants, many of whom, like Daryl and I, have moved already for the Free State Project. We're early movers. Many who, maybe like you, haven't yet made the move but are considering it or are pledged to do so and just want to see what it's like here to get to know your future neighbors in this Free State Project, the idea of combining our efforts, of getting libertarians from around the world to move to the same geographic area to achieve as much liberty in our lifetime as possible. You'll get a taste of what it's like to actually be in that community all the time when you're here for the Liberty Forum. So that's a good reason to attend. But further, the Free State Project is going to be completed as far as it's reaching its main goal, the goal of having 20,000 people pledge to make the move to New Hampshire and work towards more liberty in our lifetime. That goal is well on the way to completion by the end of this month. So that means that by the middle point of February, when Liberty Forum happens on the 18th through the 21st of February, we are going to have completed and probably have a couple weeks under our belt at that point. Because right now, the Free State Project is adding about 50 people per day, 40 to 50 people per day. It's growing by 1% every 3 or 4 days. And it just crossed, just I think yesterday or the day before that, to 96% of its goal of 20,000 people. So we're going to not only have Edward Snowden, not only have hundreds of people in the same hotel who love liberty, but also we'll be celebrating the completion of the Free State Project. This is a historic event, and you should be there. You should join us. Go to nhlibertyforum.com.
And Lynn Ulbricht will be there.
That's right. We've been talking about Ross Ulbricht. His mother is going to be speaking there again this year.
And the first ever Liberty in Action Awards Gala will happen.
That's right. And I believe Free Talk
Live. Several Free Talk Live hosts and co-hosts have been nominated for various awards.
So join us. We're broadcasting live every night from the Liberty Forum. You can join us on February 18th through the 21st, just 1 month from now, at the Manchester, New Hampshire Radisson Hotels. Great hotel right in the heart of downtown Manchester. Great location. Super convenient for anybody that's flying in from the Manchester airport. NHLibertyForum.com. Go lock your tickets in. Get your hotel room reserved. NHLibertyForum.com. We'll see you there February 18th through the 21st as we continue here. We've been discussing the Silk Road case. Ross Ulbricht in prison for the rest of his life, though appealing. And that appeal has been filed as of now. How long the appeals court will take to actually hear the case, I have no idea. I don't know what is realistic. I don't know if it's 6 months. I don't know if it's 2 years. But as we know more, we will certainly keep you informed about that. Let's change gears here a little bit, Daryl W. Perry.
Yes.
You are a presidential candidate. You're accepting Bitcoin.
Yes.
For presidential your presidential campaign. But Ross Ulbricht, of course, was accepting Bitcoin on the Silk Road. Do you believe that Bitcoin is dead, Daryl W. Perry? Because the one of the developers of Bitcoin, one of the head developers, and there's only like five of these guys, he has now walked away from Bitcoin and has claimed that it is done for.
I do not believe that Bitcoin is dead. I do not believe that cryptocurrency, virtual currency as a whole is dead. And just one point of fact, not only am I taking Bitcoin and precious metals, I am only accepting virtual currencies and precious metals.
Really?
Well, if somebody wanted to give me an airline ticket to get me somewhere, then I would accept that. But I am not accepting cash.
Okay.
And I am also contrary to a lot of media reports, Rand Paul was not the first presidential candidate to accept Bitcoin. He was the first Republican presidential candidate.
Okay.
He was the first out of the Republicratic duopoly of the Republican and Democratic Party factions of the same tyrannical vulture. But I was actually the first presidential candidate anywhere in the world to accept Bitcoin.
Really?
There was a Romanian presidential candidate that a few months after I started accepting Bitcoin started accepting. And there was a news report that he was the first anywhere in the world, which was not correct.
So the fact that Mike Hearn, who's one of the head Bitcoin programmers, is no longer a Bitcoin programmer, that he has walked away, causing headlines all over the Bitcoin portion of the internet, saying that it's a failed experiment and that he's quitting the digital currency. He sold all of his Bitcoin holdings, apparently. That does not give you pause for concern.
No, because based on at least one website, Bitcoin Obituaries, this is the 89th time someone has claimed that Bitcoin is dead.
Yeah, but there's a difference between, and we'll get to what Hearn actually, you know, some things that he said. There's a difference, right, between a head developer of something declaring its death and some media person, like some old banker or whatever, some columnist who supports the old banking industry. That's usually where you see the proclamations that Bitcoin is dead. You know, when Mt. Gox went under a couple of years ago, there were all kinds of headlines about the death of Bitcoin. When
there were reports that Mark Karpeles was the CEO of Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's not true. So here's a story from Fusion.net. In the world of Bitcoin, Mike Hearn is a big deal. He developed the code that made it possible to use Bitcoin on smartphones. A couple of years back, he quit a cushy engineering job at Google to focus on Bitcoin full-time because he was convinced of its potential to change the world. But now he's quitting the digital currency and declaring Bitcoin a failed experiment. Quote, "The fundamentals are broken, and whatever happens to the price in the short term, the long-term trend should probably be downwards," he told Medium.com. "I will no longer," actually, he wrote on Medium.com. "I will no longer," he says, "be taking part in Bitcoin development and have sold all of my coins," unquote. In a long screed, Hearn says that Bitcoin's community has grown toxic, and the system is now controlled by too small of a group of people. His primary complaint concerns the Bitcoin XT constitutional crisis that emerged last year, during which two groups of people within Bitcoin had different ideas about how to deal with a change that needed to be made to the digital coin's code. It led to a flame war, Reddit censorship, and a schism in the community that left Hearn's camp on the losing, censored side. So if you recall, we talked about this controversy several months ago, probably August or September range. With this, essentially this internal split on the Bitcoin core programming team. It was Mike Hearn, Gavin Andreessen, and three other guys whose names I don't know. So that was the split. So my understanding, there are five of them. And Hearn, at the time, wrote a lengthy article about why his idea and Gavin's idea of increasing the blockchain size limit to whatever it was, they wanted to increase it, and the other guys didn't, why that was a better idea. And we'll explain what all that means here, and you can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Are you looking to sell body armor? Want to make extra money selling body armor at your local gun shows? With low minimum buys and great returns, KD Armor is the answer. Make money in your spare time. It's American-made body armor with the quickest turnaround in the industry, which means you get your product when you need it at very competitive rates. And they'll ship it to you for free. If you own a business, give them a call today at 855-488-KD. That's 855-488-2284. Or go to KDArmor.com. Come and take it.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Is this the end for Bitcoin? One of the head Bitcoin developers says he's calling it quits. He's done. He's one of five. Now he's no longer one of those five. Now there are less than five, apparently. I don't know what the current number of core developers is. I've heard it's five. I don't even know if that's true. But anyway, this guy's gone. And he was a name that I had heard before. I don't know all of the developer names.
I never heard this guy's name before.
I never heard it before he put out his opinion piece about the Bitcoin split that has been going on. There's a proposed fork in the programming of Bitcoin. For those that don't know what that means, well, first of all, Bitcoin's a decentralized currency. It's not issued by any bank or any government. It's basically a computer program, and it's an immensely popular one. It's worth now around $380 or $350 per Bitcoin. I don't actually remember the exact price today, but it's been in that range over the last couple of days. And it's become an incredibly popular thing around the globe. This particular programmer is saying that...
$380.
$380 today. This programmer is saying that he is done with it. He's giving up. He's walking away. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that here from Fusion.net. You're also invited, if you have Bitcoin, and you would like to donate some to Free Talk Live, just go to the Bitcoin tip jar, bitcoin.freetalklive.com. You'll find our Bitcoin address there and send along whatever it is you darn well feel inspired to send. So go to bitcoin.freetalklive.com. Needless to say, I'm not worried about the future of Bitcoin. I think that it's got a long future ahead of it because there are still plenty of people who are behind it. Plenty of companies that are supporting it. But let's hear what Hearn has to say. He mentioned this constitutional crisis of what's called Bitcoin XT. So there's Bitcoin and there's Bitcoin XT, and there's some other variants as well. But ultimately, the disagreement that happened between the administrators or the head developers of Bitcoin was on a technical aspect of the size of the blocks that could be mined, as I understand it.
Yes.
The actual size of the data, they need to increase it so each block can hold more transactions, and so that would mean that more transactions would be processed more quickly, I guess, if this change was made.
Right, and I just want to clarify something that you said. You said there was Bitcoin and then there was Bitcoin XT. That's not correct. There was Bitcoin Core.
Right.
And then there was Bitcoin XT.
I'm sorry,
and then
right.
There were a couple of, like, BIP 100 and BIP 101.
It used to be called Bitcoin. They renamed it Bitcoin Core later. So, yes, Bitcoin Core and Bitcoin XT. What Bitcoin XT was the proposal of this Mike Hearn guy, who's now quitting, and Gavin Andreessen, who's one of the original, you know, people that was handed the keys to Bitcoin, if you were, by Satoshi Nakamoto, the anonymous creator of Bitcoin. So Gavin and Mike Hearn came out in favor of this change to the block size, and the other developers said, no, we don't want to change the block size. And so when the developers can't agree on something, one of the ways that they can sort of put it to the market to decide is by saying, well, we're going to fork Bitcoin. We're going to create our own Bitcoin, in this case Bitcoin XT, our own software. We're going to release this software to compete with the existing Bitcoin software. And then if enough of the miners of Bitcoin switch to the Bitcoin XT platform, if 75% of the miners switch to Bitcoin XT, then Bitcoin will become Bitcoin XT at that point, and everybody will move forward, basically, with Bitcoin XT. So sort of there's like a almost like a democratic process involved
and
here.
Until it winds up reaching that point, Bitcoin XT will work alongside Bitcoin Core.
That's
so
correct.
It's not a competing system until it winds up causing a hard fork.
Yeah, so that's what this constitutional crisis is that Hearn's referring to here. He emerged last year, during which two groups of people had different ideas, as we just explained to you, which led to a flame war, a Reddit censorship, and ultimately Hearn's camp on the losing censored side, or at least losing so far. The Bitcoin XT has not gotten its required 75%. It's not even close at this point. The result, says Hearn, whose post is flavored by the sour grapes of losing that battle, is that, quote, the network is on the brink of technical collapse, unquote. He says that because the block size capacity, which is a cap on how many digital money movements can be processed at a time, wasn't increased as proposed by his crew, transactions are now slow to go through, and the system is vulnerable to attacks that consist of flooding the network with transactions. In order to ensure your transaction goes through, says Hearn, you sometimes have to pay Bitcoin miners a transaction fee that is higher than what merchants pay for credit cards, which undermines one of Bitcoin's primary appeals.
No, I have never had to pay a miner fee that was higher than what I've had.
Neither have I.
Credit card.
Maybe he's, you know, maybe when he says sometimes, he means like hardly
if
ever.
If you voluntarily put in a giant amount.
I don't know.
And again, you know, there's the miner fee is only, you know, a couple of pennies at most.
That's right.
Unless you voluntarily increase it to, you know, some, you know, amount that's higher for some reason. And I guess if you're sending an incredibly large amount of money and you want to make sure that it goes through as soon as possible,
you could send a higher fee.
You could put in a higher fee if you wanted to, but there's no requirement to do so.
Yeah, I've never put in a higher fee than what the minimum is, and I've never noticed, like, wow, this is taking forever. I've never,
Every now and then, it'll be, you know, 20 minutes before it gets that first confirmation.
Yeah.
But generally, it's within a minute.
So, toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Hearn blames Bitcoin's demise on, quote, Chinese miners, just two of whom control more than 50% of the hash power, unquote. By that, he means the people who control or run a majority of the powerful computers that process the network's transactions. He complains both that the great firewall-hampered internet in China is slowing down the network and that these miners who get to make decisions about changes to the Bitcoin protocol because of the degree to which they power it are afraid of making necessary changes to the code because it will panic Bitcoin investors. Hearn writes, quote, imagine an entire country connected to the rest of the world by cheap hotel Wi-Fi, and you've got the picture. Right now, the Chinese miners are able to just about maintain their connection to the global internet and claim the 25 Bitcoin reward that each block they create gives them. But if the Bitcoin network gets more popular, they fear that taking part would get too difficult and they'd lose the income stream. This gives them a perverse financial incentive to actually try and stop Bitcoin from becoming popular, unquote.
So I've got an article here that's a response to this, and yeah. I want to jump in occasionally with some of the stuff from the response. So the guy also writing at Medium.com says, first of all, these Chinese miners are multiple separate entities, not one entity. Whereas Hearn is making it sound like there's
one a megacorporation.
A megacorp. No, it's not. He says that they could together join up and do bad stuff if they wanted to, but there are very high incentives in Bitcoin not to do bad stuff as a miner. It makes no sense.
You want to keep the ride going. You want to keep the Bitcoin coming in.
Yes.
We'll get to the response here. There's only a little bit more from Hearn. Much of his concerns about Bitcoin were first raised last year during this Bitcoin XT debate. During that time last summer, Nick Szabo, who's a technologist who created eGold, is one of the suspected people who might be Satoshi Nakamoto, told the author over at Fusion.net that this was one of Bitcoin's biggest political issues and the most likely thing to destroy Bitcoin after an attacker destroying billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin or all governments banning it. Hearn's post ends on a kind of uplifting note as he mentions two other Bitcoin projects that seek to fix the blockchain cap issue, Bitcoin Classic and Bitcoin Unlimited, but he says the real problem with Bitcoin isn't its code, but the people involved. He says moving forward, he will not be one of those people. Now, is the response that you have, Daryl, the one called The Bitcoin Experiment is Not Over?
No, the one that I have is titled Bitcoin Has Now Died 89 Times.
All right, let's get into that here in moments, and you can share your thoughts with us. Is this it? Have you sold your Bitcoin collection like Mike Hearn has done and taken the jump out of the Bitcoin world? Or is this just a jaded programmer who's...
Yes.
On sour grapes, then
yes.
We really shouldn't pay too much attention to what he's saying.
Yes.
Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Last I saw, Bitcoin saved me 25% on a smartphone, and it worked darn fine at that. We'll continue here. This is Free Talk Live. As a pioneer of the e-commerce movement, Overstock.com is proud to be the first major retailer to accept Bitcoin. Overstock was the first because Patrick Byrne, Overstock's CEO and founder, firmly believes in personal freedom and cryptocurrency. Over the past 16 years, Overstock has furnished over 18 million homes with a diverse line of products to suit everyone's unique styles and preferences. Support Overstock and freedom of choice while enjoying free shipping on orders of 0.211 Bitcoin or more. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand
the force of a battering ram. Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to InvasionStopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to InvasionStopper.com now. That's InvasionStopper.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Chronic inflammation is now known to block your ability to repair and compromises your immune system, making you more vulnerable to all diseases. Since poor diet, injuries, or stress are all contributing factors, many people suffer from inflammation. Your body's number one means of neutralizing inflammation and the pain that it may be causing is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's number one peptide to neutralize free radicals and thus stop inflammation.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm 44 years old. For 10 years, I had been suffering from chronic pain in my abdomen and groin that radiated down into my feet. After 3 weeks on One World Wave, the pain in my feet reduced by 50% and the overall pain in my body reduced significantly as well. I ran out of One World Wave and the pain returned. I got another container, and again, after 3 weeks, the pain reduced significantly throughout my body. I'd highly recommend One World Way to anyone dealing with chronic pain due to inflammation.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live. Moments remain, but enough time for you if you want to join us here. In these remaining moments, 855-453 is our number. We've got Skype as well. Maybe you're ready to call it quits on this whole Bitcoin thing. You're going to jump off the bridge because Mike Hearn, a former Bitcoin programmer, has taken the plunge and has left the Bitcoin world. I say hold off and just hold on. Because remember, you got into Bitcoin because you were excited probably about it in some way. Maybe you were excited because it was going to save you money at saveitpurse.com, or maybe you were excited because you saw the potential for Bitcoin to threaten the status quo of money, to threaten the big government monies out there, the fiat currencies of the world. You got into Bitcoin for whatever your reasons were, and you probably still have those reasons. Is there a perfect future ahead for Bitcoin? No, there's some rocks in the road. There's some things that need to get ironed out. But when you bought Bitcoin, you probably knew that there was a chance you were going to lose out, right? Because you should not have spent money that you couldn't have afforded to lose on Bitcoin, right? If you're an investor, that's generally a good idea. You don't invest beyond your ability to lose the money that you're investing.
Correct.
So you know there's a chance that Bitcoin could fall to zero, but you did it anyway. Right now, Bitcoin is pretty solid. It's at $380 per Bitcoin. It's down a little bit over the last few weeks, but up over the last, several months,
right?
For instance. There are still thousands of businesses online who are using Bitcoin regularly. Businesses as large as Dell Computer, Overstock, Wikipedia, corporations, mom-and-pop businesses, even right here on Main Street in Keene, New Hampshire. You can go and use Bitcoin in real life to buy things in stores. Bitcoin, if anything, is becoming more popular over time, which is what's contributing to the growing pains that Bitcoin is experiencing. And growing pains are never fun, mind you. And there's, right. It's, I'm sure no one enjoys the drama that's going on the inside of the Bitcoin community. In the same way, the Liberty community experiences some drama internally. Some activists don't get along with one another, and some people looking at that get frustrated by it. In fact, some of the people inside of activism get frustrated by it, and they might use that as an excuse to call it quits, in the same way that Mike Hearn is now using internal issues within the Bitcoin community to call it quits on this
project. I wonder
project.
If anybody has started the Liberty Obituaries page to count all of the times that you, Ian Freeman, have killed Liberty.
Well, not just me, but the Keene activists have killed Liberty so many different occasions, it would be hard to count them.
And they've done it at your bequest, or at least that's the claim, is that all of the stuff that happens in Keene is only done because of Ian.
So you had a story, Daryl, to put a little bit of perspective on this quitting of this Bitcoin developer, which seems like a big deal.
I mean,
this hasn't happened before, at least not in the way that it's being portrayed.
And really, if you look at the price fluctuation of Bitcoin, it really started to drop once the announcement that this guy was leaving the developer team and declared Bitcoin dead.
Is that a coincidence?
That's when the price sort of took a plummet.
Could have been a coincidence. Maybe it could have
been a coincidence, but generally, you know, when one thing happens and immediately after, something else happens.
Yeah, if a bunch of people were lemmings and decided to do the same thing and, like, flooded the market with Bitcoin, that would bring the price down, right?
And depending on how many Bitcoin this guy had.
That could be
because I remember waking up because lately I've been recording the newscast at night before I go to bed, and I noticed one morning I didn't close the tab that had the Bitcoin price, and I looked. I was like, why is Bitcoin now $70 less than what it was that I said in the news that I recorded 8 hours ago?
That was the night.
It was the day that the Bitcoin is dead pronouncement came from this Mike Hearn guy.
All right, so you've got a story that puts a little bit of perspective on this, because this is not the first time Bitcoin has been declared dead.
Yes. So this is a response from a writer at Medium.com. Writer is Henry Braid. He says, there's a website called Bitcoin Obituaries that lists all the claims that Bitcoin has died. The newest, claim number 89, came just this week and was one of the loudest so far. Bitcoin early adopter and developer Mike Hearn published an article claiming Bitcoin is a failed experiment. I, he writes, have been involved in Bitcoin since 2011 and have been following Hearn for a long time and also followed the block size debate closely. I think Hearn is going way over the top with his claims, and I'm going to try to explain how. Also, I'm going to explore the why territory a little bit as well. I'll go through the problems he lists in the early part of the article. Couldn't move your existing money. There's no problem moving money in the Bitcoin network. It works at the moment just as it has worked all the time for the last 7 years. I've moved money through the Bitcoin network yesterday, and our company moves money through it every day, including today, and quite successfully. Hearn is predicting there will be bigger problems in moving money in the future, but it is not a problem of that level right now.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'd like to add that the Bitcoin community is more active than ever before at fixing the capacity problems before they become a problem as bad as Hearn is predicting. The next thing Hearn writes, quote, has wildly unpredictable fees that were high and rising fast. This is actually true, but I'd like to note that the average fees are still in the cent range. So a couple of cents per transaction. They are wildly unpredictable in the sense that you might have to pay 4 cents instead of 2 on some occasions, which is a 100% increase. So it is wild. They have also been rising fast percentage-wise due to the capacity problem of the Bitcoin network. Again, it's important to note that this is a positive problem. Bitcoin is being used too much, and the network becomes congested. Mm-hmm. This will be fixed, as there are large incentives to fix it, but the problem has been hard, as there are considerations to make the decentralization of the network. But as the network becomes more congested, pressure to make quick fixes, which are possible, is becoming larger. And most importantly, as the fees are still in the cent range, this is not a fatal problem. The next point that Hearn makes that this writer rebuffs, he says, allowed buyers to take back payments they'd made after walking out of shops by simply pressing a button. If they aren't aware of this feature, that's because Bitcoin was only just changed to allow it.
Now, that's true. That's pretty scary, because one of the original selling points of Bitcoin was that the transactions aren't reversible by the customer, that the business would have to reverse a transaction.
Right. So the author of the article says this refers to a new feature called RBF, Replace by Fee, which allows rescinding transactions, or resending, not rescinding.
As in a resend?
You are sending the transaction again with a higher fee.
Okay.
It's useful if a transaction gets stuck and is not confirming because the fee was not originally high enough to push through the congestion. Hearn is again referring to a future where this allows rampant double spending. Currently, it does not, since this is an opt-in from the sender, and merchant/receiver could simply disallow quick payments if it's enabled. And this gives the user incentive to not use the opt-in RBF for quick payments.
I'm lost. I don't know what that meant. I'm sorry.
So basically, you as the merchant,
yeah,
could wind up telling your customers, no, I've got to wait for two confirmations before I give you this product.
No one's going to do that.
Unless, no one will.
Unless it's a high-dollar product, unless there's something serious
right
at stake. If it's somebody walking into Corner News to buy a pack of cigarettes, no one's going to sit around for 20 minutes while they wait for two confirmations or whatever.
Right.
Or 10 minutes, or however long it would take.
And again, not every wallet that I'm aware of has this RBF, but this guy's making it sound like, you know, it's a standard feature. I've never seen the option of resend transaction in any of the wallets that I've used. So, again, this seems like a problem that might exist for some people, but, again, there are easy ways to work around this. Let me jump down to the next point. He says that Bitcoin is suffering large backlogs and flaky payments. This, again, is true in that there is sometimes high traffic, which certainly causes high backlogs and flaky payments. This is a major problem, but there is increased pressure to solve it. Hearn is simply quite impatient about it, more impatient than anyone else in the Bitcoin community.
And he does sound burned out. I mean, that's really what... And if you're burned out, you're going to be impatient. You want to have liberty now, for instance. Like people who burn out in the liberty movement, they want to get liberty tomorrow. And then when liberty doesn't happen in the next few weeks, they get all frustrated that they put all this effort in and nothing has played out. You'll have to link to this rebuttal.
I will. And Brian Sovereign actually covered this very well in his most recent episode of Sovereign Tech.
I'll post a
link to that as well.
On our Facebook and Twitter, we'll see you tomorrow night at freetalklive.com.
Are your kids spending too much time online? Are they gaming instead of doing homework? Are they on Facebook instead of sleeping? Turn their internet access on or off when you want for free at webcurfew.com. 100% web-based interface means nothing to download, install, or configure. Webcurfew is free and controls any device using your home network without slowing down your internet. Block all adult web content with the click of a button. Don't let the internet raise your kids. Take back control of how and when your home internet is used for free. Visit webcurfew.com.
Are you searching for your soulmate? Someone you can trust who will never betray you or cooperate with the NSA? Stop searching. With EasyDNS, you found a keeper. EasyDNS does it all. Domain name, web hosting, and managed WordPress hosting. EasyDNS stands up for your internet freedom, and with servers in Canada, they do not cooperate with the NSA. Go to EasyDNS.com. You'll love their services or get a full refund. They guarantee it. And they accept Bitcoin. That's EasyDNS.com.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.